The provocative Michael Moore confesses in his new film that when he was a boy, he wanted to become a priest. Moore says he was struck by the priestly commitment of ministering to parishioners and helping the poor. After seeing Capitalism, a Love Story, I'm glad Moore took another career track. Flint's foremost filmmaker, who now resides in Traverse City, sometimes gets the jump on current events so far in advance it seems he might be tinkering with the national agenda. Roger and Me addressed the woes of the U.S. auto industry in another century. Sicko premiered well ahead of the healthcare hassle now raging, and Capitalism, a Love Story was already underway as a project when the fit hit the Shan on Wall Street a year ago now. Even though A Love Story is no more provocative than today's cable newsotainment, it attempts to cover a topic as large as it is controversial. The two-hour-plus film barely makes a dent, but Moore manages to make a few with information that comes less as a surprise than why none of it has been widely reported, if at all, until now. On Seeing Capitalism, I was introduced to a new term called dead peasants insurance, not to be confused, I guess, with dead poet society. Dead peasants insurance refers to when a major company takes out a policy on the life of an employee and designates itself as the beneficiary. If the employee dies, the company gets the death benefit without the deceased or anyone in his or her family ever having known the policy was in force. Results? The company makes a big profit on the death, and the family receives not one damn thin dime. Other than how to land a big jet in the Hudson River, Hero and U.S. Airways pilot Captain Sully Sullenberger told a congressional hearing his salary had been cut 40% by the airline and that there was no pension for him at retirement. Sullenberger's laudable feat of flying was a big story with lots of legs, but his financial status slipped through the cracks in the news media. Carrying the point further about meager pay for people who fly planes loaded with innocent paying passengers, Moore recounts the recent Buffalo, New York plane crash that killed 50. Both pilots in that tragedy were paid less than $20,000 a year. The co-pilot also worked as a part-time waitress. Another revelation in capitalism that's sure to raise an eyebrow or two are the kickbacks lavished on two judges by entrepreneurs of a privatized juvenile detention center in Pennsylvania. Seemed the judges were generous at sentencing young people to serve time in the for-profit joint. Pennsylvania taxpayers picked up the tab. Moore sets the stage for his docutainment with a brief recap of the ascent of Ronald Reagan from B-movie actor to TV salesman extraordinaire for big business, and finally the Gipper's 8-year residency at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. In a vintage clip, Donald Reagan, President Reagan's Secretary of the Treasury and later Chief of Staff, is shown at the President's side while Mr. Reagan is giving an address. Reagan leans into the President's ear and curtly grunts, "You're going to have to speed it up," which President Reagan does. Secretary Reagan was a player in much of the economic and financial reform brought forth in the Reagan administration. But Moore also fires a salvo at a notable Democrat, U.S. Senator Christopher Dodd of Connecticut. Michael also takes an oblique swipe at current Secretary of the Treasury Timothy Geithner and the Director of the White House Economic Council Lawrence Summers. Both were nominated by President Obama. Another unsurprising item comes near the end of Moore's love story, the adulation of President Franklin Roosevelt. A strip of creaky old black-and-white film of FDR delivering his 1944 State of the Union address on radio about a year before his death tells how much time, 65 years, has slogged by without Americans realizing what FDR called his Second Bill of Rights. Google it and see them for yourself. They read like an agenda for a series of meetings that might be scheduled for next week in Washington, D.C. Garbed in a dark suit with white collar doesn't seem to be the proper costume for such a disheveled provocateur as Michael Moore. No doubt, indeed, it is the crumpled baseball cap, baggy blue jeans, and giant economy-sized tennies that suit this hyperbolic blue-collar sage of the American Rust Belt. Moore is more American than his flag-wrapped detractors would ever admit. As Bo Diddley admonished us long ago, you can't judge a book by looking at its cover. I'm Gary Chu, down in the valley.